two.
I know it's slow and messed all up. And
okay.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is George Waddle Jr. of the George Waddle Jr. Show on the air Thursday night, December 10th, 2015. Wow, this year is going. I mean, it has gone. Summer's gone and fall is gone. Actually, spring is just seems like it's starting to show its head in December. It's warm, man. It's warm. It's 60 degrees in Chicago in December. What kind of mess is that? What kind of situation is that? 60 degrees. This has never happened since, I don't know, they were saying something like 1879. Wow, that's 1 year I can say, look, I wasn't born. But anyway, seriously, it is warm. It's warm. It feels like spring instead of winter. And they're broadcasting rain instead of snow. Wow, looks like we're going to have a black Christmas. At least it will not be a white Christmas. At this point, it doesn't seem like that. But it's nice, but a lot of us not complaining about it because we're out and about, you know. I mean, it's not freezing. We're not freezing our asses off because usually that's what happened. I mean, 2 years ago, they were talking about what was they saying? The polar vortex, which was just something they just a couple of phrases they made up, you know, because last year was just as cold as the year before that, and I didn't hear anything about a polar vortex, you know, so that was just something that just made up at the convenience of that time to tell us about we're going to be freezing our asses off, and so they called it the polar vortex. But anyway, it's nice. It's very nice in Chicago. I mean, I hate winter weather, but hey, wow, you know. But you know what? I always say when we have unexplained weather like this, when the weather is so ridiculous like this, you know what I always say? Yeah, it's nice now. This is great weather. This is wonderful weather. In almost the middle of December 2015, this is wonderful weather. But you know what? I always say they're setting us up. It's setting us up for the kill. We're being set up for the kill of some of the worst weather to come. Whenever it's this nice, this mild, late in December, I mean, not late, but, you know, just about the middle of December, something's wrong. Climate change? Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, it's nice weather, and I will say do not complain. Do not complain. The weekend is going to be better. At least I know in Chicago it is. They're saying 60 degrees above 60. And I mean, this is December. Wow. And there's no snow forecast. There's no tornadoes. There's no storms or anything. It's just weird. It is weird. But anyway, that's what's happening on the weather side of the aisle in Chicago. I'm pretty sure some neighboring states are getting good weather. Also, the suburban areas are getting good weather. And, you know, we just have to deal with it and just accept it, you know, but it's weird. You know, I'm the type of guy, I always like for winter to be winter, summer to be summer, spring to be spring, and fall to be fall. But, you know, those four seasons, you, as of now, you can't hardly tell one season from the other. It is so whacked out. It is so crazy. You don't know anything because it's feeling more like springtime in winter, as far as I'm concerned, you know, right now. You can't tell one season from the other. So something is wrong. Something is not working right, or something is messed up. You can call it what you want, climate change, global warming. You can call it anything you want, but it is happening. It is happening. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Look me up on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a great radio show. There's a bunch of them around, but I'm in competition with them all, so we're trying to be the best that we can be here on this show. Thanks for being with me, everybody. Thanks for being with me. All right, my guest today will be author and life coach Betty Withrow, and she will be on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She's an author, life coach, like I just said. She's going to be talking about cheerfulness, patience, friendliness, and all that kind of stuff, creativity, fortitude, perseverance, okay, and completion. So that should be fun. That should be fun. You know, I like to have authors on the show because it'll take us away. It'll take me away, at least me away, for a little while, not talking about what's going on in the world. Because I think I have to divert sometimes of talking about what's going on in the world, because what's going on in the world is not always conducive. You know, what's going on in the world depresses you. You know, it really does. It depresses you. And every once in a while, I got to have an author on the show that's going to talk about something different other than Donald Trump, the Republicans, and, you know, the no state budget in Illinois, which all of those things I'm going to talk about. But at least for a while, once she shows up or calls in, away from politics and some of the real seriousness in the world today. You know, even though those things have to be addressed and they will be addressed, but for a little while we can just dream about bliss. All right, George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Don't forget that I'm on Facebook. Check me out on Amazon.com, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. Check out some of my writings. I do fiction, and it's some good stuff. And be prepared for more of my work that's going to be published in January 2016. So it's going to be some good stuff. It's going to be great. I'll be advertising it all, marketing it all on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. So, you know, look out for that. So it's coming. It's coming, and it's very entertaining. All right. Author and life coach Betty Withrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right. Let's move right along. Let's see if we can click off some of this junk. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with George. Right, it's Donald Trump time. You know, it's just amazing. It's amazing. You know, a lot of people criticizing Donald Trump. I have to talk about Donald Trump because Donald Trump is all over the news. He's all over the media. The entire world is talking about this guy. I would be remiss if I didn't say something and give my own thoughts on what's going on, if anything is going on with this guy. You know, but let me say this. He's being criticized. He's being devoured. But yet his poll numbers are going through the roof. I've said this and posted this. Donald Trump, some people calling him dumb, ignorant, a bully, a blowhard. Even I've called him that, a liar, a racist. He's been labeled a lot of things. You know, from my understanding, he withdrew his visit to Egypt. He made up some kind of something or other, but the reason why he withdrew it because he says that he's going to ban Muslims from the United States. I mean, you don't want to go to a country where there's lots of Muslims and you're going to ban Muslims from your country, you know. So you know why he did it. But the point here I want to say is, no matter what you say about Donald Trump, no matter what I say about Donald Trump is actually smart. Donald Trump is getting the kind of notoriety that I wished I was getting, all over, especially when I'm for my books that I write, for the radio show and everything else that I do. And I mean, all of us. I mean, if we're writers and we're authors and we've got this or that going for ourselves, we've got something we want to offer the public, we wish we can get that kind of exposure to sell our product or service. Of course, Donald Trump is smart. And no matter what you think of him, his poll numbers are going through the roof. He will be the Republican nomination for president of the United States on the Republican side of the aisle. There is no doubt about it. He's going to be it. And if anybody who thinks he's not going to be it, they have their head in the sand. Okay, now on the Democratic side of the aisle, I think it may be Hillary Clinton, but I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders. You know, but Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton will beat Donald Trump. You know, so there's no doubt about that. But, you know, I guess let me get back to my point is that Donald Trump is smart. He knows what he's doing. He says things to rile people up. He says things intentionally. He says things to rile people up. He has the whole world talking. The whole world is focused in like a laser beam on Donald Trump. I wish they were focused like a laser beam on this show. And I know if you're selling a book or you have a product or a service out there, I know you wish the world was focusing in on your service or your product like they are doing to Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's saying a lot of things that are not right. He's being criticized. He's saying a lot. He's calling him a bully, a racist, whatever you want to call him. You have to admire the man because he's a winner. He's out front double digits of all those other conservatives or Republican candidates for president of the United States for 2016. He's out in front. Because why? He gets people to talking. He gets people to taking notice, and they do. He's all over the television set. He's all over the media. The media's breaking their asses to get two words out of Donald Trump. They know that Donald Trump is media. They know that Donald Trump is ratings for their show. Regardless of how bombastic he is or bully he is, or what a racist he is, which he denies, he's all over the place. And for the media, like I just said, it's ratings, and ratings bring in revenue. So there was a time not too long ago, I think Donald Trump stated that he wanted $5 million to appear on CNN for another Republican televised debate in the future. And CNN turned him down and said, "We're not going to pay you to be on our station. We're not going to do that." But they may have changed their mind by now, because he's going to bring in more than $5 million if he brings the ratings up and the viewership into that station. So Donald Trump, no matter what you say about him, I disagree with him on some things too. But a Muslim ban, that's right, because all Muslims are not bad. Some Muslims are peaceful people. And I've got some living around me in my community, in my neighborhood, you know, right next door to me. And these are some great people. They're some beautiful people. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the Muslims are afraid and nervous. They are. I've seen some around here that are afraid and nervous because they feel that all of us, you know, think like Donald Trump. And we do not. Donald Trump is talking about banning Muslims coming to the United States. And a lot of people disagree with that, especially on the political side. But you know what? You may disagree with Donald Trump about banning Muslims from the United States, But those who support Donald Trump, they support banning Muslims from the United States. So I would say to a lot of these Muslim leaders, the leaders, the advocates, the spokesmen, or whatever, do not just blame Donald Trump because he wanted to ban you from the United States. Majority of the conservatives want to ban you from the United States and their constituency and the people who are voting for them, their supporters. That's why his poll numbers have gone through the damn roof. Every time he says something explosive, something inflammatory, no matter how ridiculous it is, no matter how ineloquent it is, his poll numbers go through the roof. And a majority of the people who are voting for him are racist, undereducated. They don't care. But, hey, his poll numbers are going to get him the nomination. He says, Donald Trump says, if he doesn't get the Republican backing, he's going to go third party. So now the Republicans are trying to support him. You know, so he's going to go third party. And one of the things about Donald Trump, he has his own money. He's not being bought off or paid off. He's not being bought. He's not bought by the NRA, the gun lobbies, and a lot of these corporations. He has his own money, so he can say what he wants to say and how he wants to say it. The other GOP candidates, they can't do that because they're bought off and paid for. If they say something inflammatory like Donald Trump, their donations and contributions will be cut off, and they may wind up having to leave the race. So Donald Trump, you have to envy him for that, that he has his own money. He's not being bought and paid for like Congress, because majority of people in Congress, senators, representatives, are bought and paid for. They're puppets for the Koch brothers. They're puppets, but Donald Trump is not. Okay, it says GOP prepping for split convention. What that means is that one convention with Donald Trump and another convention with the GOP front, with the GOP. Now that's crazy. That's crazy. Obviously, this means that they're going to split from Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is going to run as a third party candidate. If that happens, the Republican Party is through. Because they don't want Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a pain in their ass. They wish he would go away. But Donald Trump is not going to go away. Not going to go away. Ted Cruz is a nut. Marco Rubio, I mean, he tries to sound sensible. But when you listen to the guy, he's on the crazy bin. I've heard other talk show radio hosts called the Republican Party the bozo bus. A lot of these people are just crazy. They're nuts, and they want to be president. But you know what? This is just television. This is entertainment, because none of these guys, I've said this in many, 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 many shows, not one of the Republican candidates is fit to be president of the United States. But they want to be. But they want to be. Ted Cruz, this slob, nobody likes him. He's a hater. He's a total hater. I don't know what to say, you know, but stay tuned. Stay tuned for all of this stuff. It's going to be total interesting, okay? This is going to be total interesting. Okay, a break. We need to go on a break. Okay, we're going to go on a break, and I will be, let me see. Break music. Okay, we're going to go on a break. Stay with me, everybody. More to come. Okay. All right. All right, let's move away from Donald Trump. I mean, this guy is a master. You know, I'm not going to vote for him. I disagree with a lot of things he says, and there's no way I can vote for him, but there's no way to say that this guy is not a winner, especially when it comes to the media, getting the media to pay attention to him, to get the media to do what he wants them to do, because they're chasing after him. He's not going after the media. They are coming after him. And that's where he's a winner at. You know, a lot of us, if we want that kind of exposure, we got to run after the media. But the media would rather come after you. And that's what they're doing at Donald Trump. Okay, moving right along. Obama finalizes proposal to expand background checks on gun sales. Okay, I was reading something today, and they said Obama's going to try and flex his muscles, flex his executive powers to do something on gun control without the Republicans. Now, I've been saying that forever. Obama, he said it many times that he was going to use executive authorities. He hasn't used it so far. So until he uses it, his executive authority to do something about guns being in the hands of the wrong people, to me, again, it's going to be just talk. Totally just talk. You know, but something has to be done, and he has to do it without the Republicans. He has the power. We gave him the power. I voted for him twice. I held my nose to voting for a second time, but he has to do something. I don't know. He, you know, it's talk. As far as I know, it's talk until he actually does something on gun control. And I would say to a lot of people out there, especially if you haven't voted, you don't vote, or you won't vote, think again. The Republicans, as you can see with Donald Trump, the Republicans are very, very excited to vote. They are going to vote for this guy. They can't wait to get to the polls to vote for Donald Trump. They cannot wait to do it. They are very excited. Their enthusiasm is just running over with the Republican base. But the Democrats are not excited as the Republicans are. The Dems are not as excited as the Republicans are, and that's a mistake. Because every time the Dems are not the Democrats or the progressive liberals, whatever you want to call them, every time these people are not excited, the Republicans win. Because if they're not excited, they're not going to get out there and vote. And if you don't vote, that's a vote for a Republican. And I try to tell people this all the time. You may say, well, I'm not going to vote because all politicians are liars. They're dirty. They're corrupt. They're no good. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. But you have to get out there and try to vote for the right person of the right party that's going to represent your interest. And right now, the Republicans, they do not represent anybody's interest from where I'm standing. I mean, if you hate Obama, you're going to go that way. Of course. I mean, Obama, to me, Obama has not been the greatest president of the United States. But, you know, so he has not been the greatest president of the United States. You may disagree with me. You may agree with me. 347-857-1762. But like I've just said, progressives, liberals have to be excited coming November 2016. Because if you do not, we're going to have President Donald J. Trump in office. You're going to have to vote. Vote in off midterm elections and elections of all, vote in every election. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't want President Trump in 2016 and 2017, get out there and vote. Get excited. Be like the Republicans. Get excited. Get excited for Hillary Clinton. Get excited for Bernie Sanders. Get exciting for even Patrick O'Malley. Those are three progressives. get excited. Because if you don't, we're going to get Republicans in office. Okay, one of those Supreme Court justices, I think his name is Scalia, Justice Scalia, said that blacks are not smart enough to go to some of the best colleges. Yeah. When I first saw that, I said, I gotta get second and third opinions on what I just heard and just read. And it's true. The guy said it. He said that blacks are not smart enough to go to good colleges. He was making some reference to affirmative action. But if you push affirmative action to the side, this guy is just a plain racist. And I was listening to some people today, and they were saying something like, racism, and I agree with them, racism is out there. There's no more hiding who is racist. The person who is racist is coming right at you. You know who they are. You know their names. Racism is no longer hidden. And a lot of this stuff, a lot of this racism that we've got today and we've had for the last 7 years came because of Obama. I mean, there was never so much racism out in front as when we elected Obama. I mean, it's racism is front and center now. You know, the people will tell you their names. You know what they look like. They are in Congress. They're in the Supreme Court, the executive office. Racism is everywhere, and it's alive. It's well. And it's cooking. It is all over the damn place. Racism has never been out in the forefront as much as it ever had since Obama. Since Obama became president, it's out there. But I'm kind of glad it's out there because we know who the racists are. We know their names. We know what they look like. We know who they are. I'd rather know what a racist look like and their names than not to know. Than for somebody to pretend to be my friend or pretend to like me and they're hating my guts because of my race. Racism is out there and it's going to be out there. Racism is here to stay. And people are going to have to realize that. Racism is here to stay. There's no way of ending it. I'm not saying that Obama brought it here, but I'm saying because of him being an African American president. I actually don't call him an African American president. I call him a mixed race president because, like I said before, I don't think Obama has been the best president that he could be or can be. You know, but he still got time in his presidency to be a great people president. Okay, a people president. We have yet to see that. And he has yet to use his executive authority on dealing with some of this gun violence out here. He can do it. He doesn't have to have the Republicans all the time. He can't always say the Republicans are obstructing him when he has power to do things without the Republicans. He doesn't need them all the time. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, 347-857-1762. You can call in, you can sit back, you can listen, you can podcast, you can just have complete fun with the show. Okay, everybody, I will be right back. Stay with me. Let's see what we got here. All right, be right back. We got it? Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. Okay, we're back. We are back. I hope you enjoyed that little piece there. Let's see what we got here. Okay, let's go to the phones. Wow, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Betty Withrow?
Good. Glad to hear that. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, nobody. Hey, no problem. I'm glad you're here. So how is the weather out there?
Well, right now it's raining, which is very nice. We've really been wanting some rain in California, and we're actually getting some. So I'm enjoying that.
You know, I'm here in Chicago, and you know what? It feels like spring.
It's kind of warm, yeah. It was very cold last week, but this week it does kind of feel like spring. So,
I mean,
I know
in Chicago. I know it feels like spring in Chicago. I mean, we're used to snowing and freezing our asses off. But it feels like spring. It feels like, I mean, it doesn't feel like winter. And the weathermen here, the meteorologists have said that there's no snow in the broadcast. It's just rain, you know, rain. It just feels like a spring rain, but it's weird. So I don't know if it's global warming, climate change, or anything, but something is going on. All right. Okay. I don't mean to diverse there. All right. Betty was – okay, let's see. So tell us a little bit something about yourself.
All right. I live in Big Sur, California, out in the wilderness. I'm, like, way out in the boonies, and I've lived here for 44 years. And so, obviously, I've had a very unusual life, and in many respects. And I love having the blessing to be able to have lived this life, even though sometimes it's been very difficult. And in the last year, I wrote a book, which I would love to tell you about. It's
sure
the story of how you can take whatever's going on in your life and turn it into something useful that you can use to create more of what you want and get a grip, as it were. You know,
okay,
like,
get a grip. Okay.
It.
Okay, is that the book called Prevail?
It is. The book is called Prevail, okay. Seven Keys to Create a Personal Victory.
So, you know what I like about it? When I was kind of promoting you to be on the show, and I've got a lot of hits for what your book is about. I mean, you've got cheerfulness, you got patience, you got friendliness, you got creativity, you got fortitude, perseverance, and completion. Those are positive words from my standpoint.
Yeah, that's what makes it happen. They're principles of energy, and they're very positive things. They're the things that actually make life go. You know.
Okay.
I mean,
cheerfulness.
When you think about it, go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, when you think about it, if you take the initiative in life and create your life, then you're using those things that you just mentioned, all those key qualities, you know, your cheerfulness, you know, and then building from there.
Oh, okay. So why did you write this book? And for whom?
I wrote it for myself because I needed to move on some material in my life and turn experiences that I had into things that I would know would help other people and would go beyond my own life. That's the first reason. The people I wrote it for are the ones that people who can't really quite or feel like they can't really quite get life to open up for them, that maybe somehow life is happening to them. It's all around, and people tell you what to do. You're living someone else's life. There isn't this spark that is a lit up life. Like maybe there's an invisible mm-hmm. barrier between you and what you want in life. I wrote it for mm-hmm. people like that, and I know there's a lot of them. So,
yeah, ladies and gentlemen, life coach Betty Withrop on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You sound great. All right. What are the keys to create a personal victory? What are the keys to create a personal victory?
Well, the first one is cheerfulness. And I spent a lot of time on cheerfulness in the book because it's central.
Yeah.
Cheerfulness is not happiness. Cheerfulness is an active thing that you do. Happiness is something you experience, but cheerfulness is taking the initiative to see the brightness in wherever you are and take action on that and make it last. That best way to make it last is to turn around and give it to somebody else, because then you've connected to the world.
Yeah, cheerfulness is such a positive word, and I think if you're cheerful, like you say, it could radiate on to other people around you. If you're cheerful, then other people around you are going to be cheerful. And personally, myself, I don't like to be around people who are not cheerful if I'm not cheerful. I'm not feeling good, you know. So you want to be around people who are cheerful and you know, because I take cheerful as being something positive, smiling, laughing, just having a great time, you know, throwing out the negativity, you know. All right, what about patience?
Well, with patience, you can see into the moment and let the moment open up and show you what the message is. If you're rushing through things, you're never really actually where you are. You're never present, and you can't see the potential of what's going on. Like, you ever notice you're in the grocery line, and somebody in front of you is having a problem of some kind, and then the next thing, when it's your turn, you're being thanked for your patience, right? Like, this is great that you didn't blow your stack over nothing. But in that time when you were being patient, you had the opportunity to really look at something that was going on that you wouldn't have noticed. And, something of your own, something that you want to think about, something that you observe around you. Like maybe you notice what's going on for the person who's having the problem and you go, wow, any number of indications that could have been me, or wow, I sure hope she gets this right, or, something like that. Instead of saying, wow, this is a drag. I'm hung up and I'm not getting what I want. So it makes you richer inside because you're not stuck on your idea. You're ready to open up and listen to life. That's what I call patience.
Yeah. How much of these keys to create a personal victory have you experienced in your own life? Cheerfulness, patience, friendliness?
Well, I've used them all. And, in the book, I actually use myself as an example. And I talk about different times when, I had the opportunity to become patient, even though I didn't really ask for it. And, I took the opportunity to become patient instead of not doing it, and therefore I was able to grow through the thing. In the beginning of the book, well, like I say, I talk about cheerfulness a lot. I grew up in a very abusive home environment when I was a child. And at a certain point, I was taken out of the home. And I talk about how I learned to get through that experience and gain a positive perspective by becoming cheerful and learning to care about other people so I wasn't stuck on my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a simple example. But then, you know, like in patience, if you don't have patience, you can't have anything that's worth having because it takes time for things to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you discover them? Through your own experience, maybe?
Yeah. I did. And it came to me in a specific way. I had burned out, and I was having basically a meltdown. And I laid down and decided I would listen to life and figure out, you know, how had I gotten there? I had just been through some really, really hard stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I made it through that. And obviously, I know that I made it through a bunch of hard stuff in my life. How did that happen? You know, what was it that made that? And then I just laid there and listened. And the qualities kind of like showed up and in my mind and said, well, this is this. You know, you got to start by cheering up because otherwise you have nothing and nobody wants to talk to you. And and then, you know, you have to, you know,
tell me about it.
One by one they unfolded, right? And and at first there were six, and then I realized that creativity was the middle of it. That without creativity, you can have all the rest of them and nothing's going to happen. So I put creativity in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. Do you have an excerpt you can read to us, read to everybody?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to have to open up my file here.
Okay. Author and life coach Betty Withrow.
Which one would you like to hear about, George?
I mean, it's up to you. It's your preference.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll take perseverance here.
Okay. All right.
Read that. Okay. Perseverance is quiet endurance. And I start this chapter by quoting Shakespeare, who says, "Much rain wears the marble."
Okay.
And then I go on and say, just about any kind of success depends on sticking with it. In fact, that's the biggest single factor in learning to prevail. For it is a skill to see that by being with yourself honestly and truly and sticking with your knowledge of how deep and true you really are, you will win the day in the end. Really, all you have to do is know what you are saying and what you are doing is real. Dig down into that reality and take the gift of perseverance for your own. The smile of God is victory, a quote from Whittier. How is it done? Just one little bit at a time. You can start by having a really great big dream and all the inspiration that goes with that. You start out and it feels all right. Then you hit some kind of a snag, or you begin to think maybe it wasn't such a good idea, or someone you know and respect says something negative to you, or even just makes a careless remark that gets all the doubt going. You feel like you are on the wrong track. Might as well just scrap all that grandeur and get back to grinding along. Well, Plutarch said, perseverance is more prevailing than violence, and many things which cannot be overcome when they are together yield themselves up when taken little by little. Look, you're going to be persevering, whether you know it or not, anyway. Even simple survival takes that. And this is my favorite quote. Here's where I quote Lauren Bacall, who
the
said,
actor?
Anyone can survive. The actress, yeah. She said, anyone can survive. I prefer to prevail. I found this in a magazine article about her with her gritty and humorous take on life, which I so admire. That statement came along at the right time for me, as I was in a situation where a lot of conflicted and judgmental behavior was going on, and people talked all the time about, quote, surviving. It was a bleak mindset, and everything was presented as being gray, boring, stupid, no fun, etc. And I was thinking, that's no fun. I want to win. It was an important decision. Looking back, I can see that it was a key insight for me to hear about a victorious mindset. It shifted my level of perception of my situation and woke up a part of me that had been hiding. I cut out the magazine article with her picture in it and put it in my journal. There I could look at her and think about what she said. Those words helped me through many a dumb remark and many a stupid situation. Which is a better deal, persevering and playing it safe, or in going for the big ride? If you persevere in going where you really want to be, where you are called to be by the big you, you'll get to a much better place than you will by persevering and telling yourself it's too much to deal with and giving up. What's the reward for giving up? Knowing you've given up. That's not very fun. Giving up is not the same as acknowledging defeat, however. There will be times when it becomes quite clear that the way you were going was not the way that will take you where you would like to be. In fact, quite possibly very far away from it. That's the time to grab the information and run with it. You can look at every single thing that wasn't working and turn it into a way to get things to work for you. Mr. Phillips said, "What is defeat? Nothing but an education. Nothing but the first step to something better."
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Happened.
All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're having some difficulties. I hope you stay with me. I hope you're there. I hope you say, I'm sorry, we're having some total difficulties. And my apologies to Betty Woodthrop. My apologies to her. I mean, I'm having some difficulties. This usually don't happen. It doesn't happen, but every once in a while it will happen. So my apologies to her. And I'm going to sign off. We've got to check and see what's happening here. I'm so sorry, Betty, and I'm sorry to all my listeners. But when you're on the Internet, this is what happens. It happens this way. And let me see if I can't go on with this. Let me see. And I want to thank Betty Woodford for calling into the show. She did a great job. She was wonderful. It's just that some things I've said this before. When you're on Internet radio, things happen. Okay, I hope she calls back in, but, you know, whatever. I apologize. Blacks are not smart enough to go to good colleges. That's not true. I mean, I think every black who is, I think Sakria said that. I'm on the phone. I'm actually on the phone calling into my own show because something is wrong. Let me see if I can't get this thing kind of straightened out. And then I want to apologize to all my listeners, everybody out there. Tune in tomorrow. I will be back on the show. Okay, I'm going to see you, everybody. Thanks. Bye-bye.